Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So I want to be able to talk about, in this program, hopefully get a chance to talk about weakness.
I embrace it.
That, you know, that, you know, so many people that, you know, when they're, especially with guys, that when they're young and they feel like they're weak, and maybe they got beat up at school or something, I don't know, but they said, you know, I'm going to work out. I'm going to get some strength, homie. And so they go and they start, you know, doing some push-ups or weights or what would you do? they lift heavy things to make yourself, you know, stronger. Mm-hmm. And, but the problem is that they forget they were weak. And so then they start, you know, buffing up against people and start arm wrestling them and, doing, you know, different things to just, you know, promote themselves and just like, look at my strength, look at my power, look what I've done. Mm-hmm. And they forget that they were that little weakling that was terrified, that didn't know what to do but to go work out and to become stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is with the Lord. You know, you may have been walking with the Lord for a while, and you may be brand new. I don't know who it is at this point that's listening and watching. But you have to remember, we're all weak in the presence of the Lord. And we can become stronger, but our strength does not mean that somebody else that's weak is not right with God. And how you know this is that if you became like that ex-bullied person and now you're going around throwing your weight around, you've learned something in God, you've gotten stronger in your faith, and you're looking at other people who are still struggling in their faith, they love God, they're mm-hmm. still, you know, and you're critical of them, you're judgmental of them, you know, you're like that person that's flexing their strength. When the reality is, if they have faith in God, if they made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, and they're that journey of discipleship and, you know, whatever level they are, whatever strength they have based on their own life experiences, it should be celebrated. I mean, we're all at different places. And if, in fact, you think you arrived at a place, you're maybe not as far as you think you are. And it makes me think what Paul was writing. He was writing about this, and he wrote a letter to the church. It was in Rome in chapter 14. He says, listen, he says, accept those people whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. I mean, there are some things that you can do that's like, you don't even think about it. It's just a natural thing for you. But it wasn't natural for you until it became natural for you, until mm-hmm. you applied it and you walked it out for a while. And there's a lot of things you do that's just preference. It has nothing to do with doctrine. It's just it's what you do. And sometimes it's better off if it's done that way. But there are some things that are not disputable. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. He's the only way to God. Mm-hmm. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there is no access or forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And that he is the only way, and that we are to be his disciple and to follow him. But in that, you know, you may have just started, quote, lifting weights, unquote, yesterday. So obviously you can't curl 40 pounds like Pat, right? You're 25 is a 40. I don't know.
10 maybe.
10. And so something, maybe you're even thinking about your own self, thinking, man, look at me. I can't even lift much weight in God right now. I can't. And it's like, you know, don't even think about that. You just got to build your strength. When you think mm-hmm. about natural strength, the way it works is you have to do something. Mm-hmm. Then, believe it or not, what you definitely know now, how much weight you can lift now, you have to take it to that limit and go beyond it, mm-hmm. which means you have to go beyond what you know in God. You'll never go stronger in God if you don't go beyond what you know. If you just stay within what you know and your little comfort zone, you're going to be mm-hmm. weak in your faith. But if you keep pushing and going, when God says walk on the water, you get out of the boat. When other people talk about theorizing, okay, he said, let's walk on the water. What does that mean in Greek? I mean, you know, you're like, I'm going to walk on the water. Even if I go down, I'm going to walk on the water. Mm-hmm. You may sink, but you know, you may have taken three steps. You took three steps that you didn't take before. And so you can get stronger, but we have to realize that when we were all in the boat, when we've all made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and that we are in agreement over matters that are not disputable. And these other ones that are disputable, we're like, you know, God will, whatever, you know, let's unite like the Moravians talked about. Let's unite on the important things and give liberty where the rest of the things are concerned. I don't have the exact quote. But he tells us right up front, Paul's writing to the church in Rome, a brand new church. He's going like, listen, accept those who are weak in the faith without passing judgment. You got to finish it on disputable matters. There's some things you got to say, oh, you don't do it. That's not good. No, you don't do it that way. But there's many, 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 many things that are just good ideas. Then he goes on to say, he says, one man's faith allows him to eat everything. Thank you very much. But another man's faith, whose faith is weak, can only eat low carb, non-fat. I'm sorry, we're not talking
high protein.
High protein. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. So that's the conviction of those individuals. One man's like, you know, yeah, give me another scoop of that. And this other man's thinking like, oh my, I could never eat that. So you got these two opposing perspectives, because both of them love God. Both of them have this faith in God. But to one's going, to me, that would be wrong for me. To the other one says, I love God and I have this freedom in God and it's not wrong to me. And I mean, it's not wrong. It's not biblically wrong. You know, it would be, I guess it'd be a disputable matter, really. Mm-hmm. And so you have these two opposing, you know, if they had this long conversation, they would say, you know, I feel differently. Then he says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted them both. He accepts Pat with his low fat carb paranoia thing going on. Which we're not talking down to him, right?
We accept him.
We accept him who he is.
We love
accept
you.
Him. I feel the love.
If we need strength, we're going to go to him, right? If we need endurance, we're going to go to Chris and me. And you're working on putting on some weight.
Trying to. Yeah.
Chris is like, hey, man, this is great. We're at 39 days. We're doing good. That was a taco right there. Okay.
Pizza and wings.
But think about it. How relevant is that? You know, we're joking around, but there's people that feel religious about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They feel like it's sin for them. I mean, if they eat fat, they're going to think, I've sinned. Mm-hmm. I mean, right?
No, I'm good with that.
Oh, not you. I'm just talking about there's people that would feel that.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
But I guess now you're bringing we're talking, you know.
Is there something in that just being convicted?
I ate some fat this morning.
The right kind of fat.
Yeah. Unsaturated.
Right. Unprocessed.
Right. So the man who does eat everything must not look down on the man who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the one who does, for God has accepted them. Mm-hmm. So it's important to understand that he accepts people that's not like you. And unity is a real difficult thing, because that's when these weird, disputable things start surfacing. And people just start taking, you know, I don't know if God likes that beat when it comes to music. You know, it's like, are you serious? Are you going to not unify because Pat's got rhythm? You know, think about it. Are you going to, because there's a drum in the band? I mean, you're really not going to, a drummer in the band? You're not going to, are you serious? Or there's a saxophone. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, how many people just all of a sudden these disputable matters, it's not a sin. You know, and unity is going to come when we understand this, that's my own, I can be in the presence of someone who doesn't agree with me over these disputable matters, and I can love them, they can love me, and I can know that we're both saved, we're both going to heaven, and we both can walk together in unity. Mm-hmm. This is important because God's wanting his people to come together, but you can't make everybody eat what you're eating. You know what I'm saying? You can't make everybody...
No. Yeah.
You know, do what you get. It's disputable. It's just what it means. It's like, it's not biblical, but that's your personal conviction. So if you decide that you want to wear I don't want to give these suggestions because somebody might take these suggestions, but you just do something or don't do something, and that's your personal worship for God. That's your own personal worship for God.
Yeah.
And if you feel like it's sin, you do it. That's actually sin for you, so you can't violate what God is leading you, what's in your heart.
It gives you a lot of freedom, too, because if you find out that, like you're saying, it's not sin, then you're just like, oh, well, we can just enjoy the moment.
Okay.
Well, what I'm saying is, though, for those it's just like, you know, we've talked about before as far as like having mindsets, trying to bring in some encouragement, because it's like you have that one person that says, you know, I don't know what it's like to eat that type of food.
Oh, okay.
Or you have someone from a different culture. It's just like you've never had that type of food. And it's just like, oh, I've never had that before. But then it's like you're able to just connect with people because like you're saying you have that mentality or you have that mindset where you thought it was wrong. It's like, well, no, that's just. It's just an idea, or it's just a wrong mindset.
It's really wild because if you tell yourself it's wrong, and religion tells a lot of things to a lot of people that's wrong because mm-hmm. you can be controlled by that. And it's amazing that you live this law life of laws.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, when you eat pork, you're really just all you could think about is every scripture that in the old covenant that said, you know, don't eat this oyster, don't eat this, mm-hmm. this piece of pork or something. Yeah. And Pat's way beyond that.
Yeah.
Pig don't have a chance.
Latin America. Latin America. How many ways can you eat it?
The Kentamites. And so then he goes on to says this. He says, who are you? He's saying, don't judge each other. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? And that's important to realize because once we start, you know, feeling that we can judge an individual, we're saying that we're God. They're not our servant. They're not our responsibility. So he's saying, who are we to judge another man's servant? To his own master, he will stand or fall. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand, to make him stand. Mm-hmm. How many people are so worried about people that are weak in their faith and saying, you know what? If the trumpet blows now, the last trumpet sounds and the Lord comes, we're all going to go there. Granted, those that made Jesus Christ Lord of life, granted, you know, the outcome is going to be a little bit different, but that's choices that they're making. I mean, we don't know. And God's just full of mercy and grace, and heaven is going to be great for everybody, including the very person that, you know, chose not to be strong in their faith. But they're going to be noticed that, man, I wasted my life. I could have done mm-hmm. more for him. So then he goes on to say, he says, one man considers one day, or beyond food now. I don't know if you went beyond food or not. I don't know. But anyway, so one day, one man considers one day more sacred than the other, and another man considers every day sacred. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Mm-hmm. That's so important because, you know, right now when people, you know, if you're this person who's weak and they don't understand this, they're polling people. So, Pastor so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Like, how many people have you asked that question to? Well, you know, what are you asking for permission to? How close can you get to the world? How close are you? I mean, what are you talking about? What is God? Obviously, God's telling you something. Mm-hmm. You don't look at what other people think is right in their own life, in their own mind. What is God telling you? And obviously, if you ask 15 people that question, God's telling you that's what you need to do. And just because you do it, don't mean everybody else has got to do it. That's your own personal walk with God. That's what he's saying here. You know, and just because God may require more from you, doesn't mean he's going to require that from the next person. But you got to do what God is telling you to do. You got to do what he's telling you to do. And so what's right in your own mind? So you got to spend time with God, abiding with God. You'll be surprised how much freedom you get when you spend time with God and away from religion. But you got to be fully convinced in your own mind. A double-minded man, it doesn't say this here, but it's in James, a double-minded man gets nothing from God. And if you're wanting peace and tranquility in your life, I mean, you got to make up your mind. Get in God's word, spend time with him, and get a peace about your life. I have some people right now I've asked, I said, listen, you said God led you this way. And you said you had it all figured out. And so I asked them, I said, listen, sit down. Write down everything God's told you during that transition. And I'd like to see it. But first of all, you need to have it. Because in the future, you're going to have to go back and explain to yourself
mm-hmm.
and remember what God told you in this transition. You can't just assume you take a turn. You need to know, because the enemy is going to attack you when you took a real seemingly disputable transition in your job, life, marriage, whatever it is, and that you're going to have to be able to, what did God say to me at that moment in time? Because that's what you needed to do, and you're saying that's what you did. How come you won't put it down? You need to put this down. Everything that you do like that, you need to go back and you got to say, give me a moment. I'm going to write down what God said, because that's what he said to me, and that's where I was at that time, and this is what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at this freedom and understanding weakness and strength in the body of Christ, and realizing that, you know, the strong should be very careful in how they look out for the weak, because we're all brothers and sisters. When we're coming together, there's a lot of disputable things that we make important. They're not really important. It's just a preference or something of that nature. And so he's talking to us here about that, you know, in Romans, this letter that Paul wrote to the church of Rome here in verse 14. And he says, you know, that in regards to special days, he says, he who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. And he who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. It's like, this is my walk with God. Get out of my walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
This is my personal walk with God. I mean, that's disputable what you're talking about. I'm not talking about the other things. I'm talking about, you know, I agree with you. Jesus is the way, only way to God. I agree with you that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I agree with you that Jesus' teachings needs to be my goal, to be able to follow his teachings and to go out to all the world. I agree with you, but this small stuff about eating and about drinking and about special days, you know, I could worship God 7 days a week. It doesn't just have to be on Sunday,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know? And the thing is, am I doing it for God? And the unique thing that he's talking about, this brother's doing that for God. This sister's doing that for God. And then he goes on, he says, for none of us lives to himself alone. And none of us dies to himself alone. In other words, he's saying, listen, you're not an island. You can't live like an island. You know, if you live like an island, you think you are the righteousness of your existence, that you're doing everything right. But when you get around other folks, you find out you got to question yourself. Is this right? Or is this a preference? Is this some sort of doctrine is this right? Is this so important about being family and coming together? But if we don't let go of these disputable matters, and if we, you know, bow up with our strength, or you bow up with your strength as someone who's weak in their faith, they're not going to unify with you. They're not going to come. They're not going to get any stronger. And to do that is you're doing the arrogance of that, you know, as an analogy we're talking about. Think about, you know, don't you remember when you were this weakling and you decided you were going to work out, you were going to strengthen yourself, and you thought, you know, that I'm just vulnerable here. Well, that's how that person in their faith feels. But they're in the faith. They're important. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand, to be able to do anything in a negative way towards that person is to do it. Whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me, Jesus said. And God, the creator of the universe, can you imagine bowing up at God? Telling God that, you know, you need to be like me, and you're the measuring stick for someone? That's a shocker. I can imagine what the throne of judgment would be like at that. Then he says, no, if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. This whole thing is between you and God. At the very end, you're going to stand all by yourself at the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, if you know what to do is right and you're not doing it, and you know God's speaking to you, this is a personal relationship with God. And if you're avoiding what you know God's telling you to do, that's your sin. That's your own personal sin that you own. So he goes on, he says, so whether you live or die, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. It's all to the Lord. He says, and it's for this reason Christ died and returned to life, so that we might be with the Lord, both the dead and the living. I mean, he's talking to the church. He's like, come on, you got to realize there's going to be some strong ones, some weak ones, you know, some media strength, but we're all the same. And you can get stronger if we love people where they are. I mean, they can even get stronger in their faith in God. He says, you then, why do you judge? Why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? This is Paul talking to him. He's like, come on, guys. What are you doing? Do you realize that the kingdom wasn't even preached in your city? And I came into your city. I told you about the Lord, and God showed up, and you got filled with the power of God. And now you are criticizing each other. What have you done? You're going to destroy each other if you keep this up. He said, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, it's not your job to judge. It's your job to learn, love, and to disciple, and to give everybody the opportunity to go all the way that God expects them to with God. And then they will stand alone like yourself before God. He says, that's where the context, if you want to know that's written, it's in the midst of all this when he says, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Isn't it interesting? He writes that in the midst of brother judging brother. He said, it is written, for surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account for himself to God. You're so busy trying to give an account for your brother, you don't realize you're about to stand before God. Your mm-hmm. life can be called in a few more moments. Mm-hmm. You're trying to tell your husband how to live his life. You're trying to tell your wife how to live her life. You're trying to tell your kids how to live their life. Your kids trying to tell their parents how to live their life. It's like, wait a minute, you're going to be standing before the judgment seat in a moment. You need to do what's right before God. We got so much more we're going to talk about. And after this moment, we're going to talk more about it. Catch us in our next program. We're going to continue this talk. But this is so important because there's freedom in God that we can never unify if we don't unify with all of us, including the weak, including the strong. Deal with the important matters, but to everything else, we should give liberty to our brothers. So you're looking here where he's saying, listen, so then each of us will give an account for himself to God. So he's talking about, you know, focusing on other people instead of yourself, focusing in is as we behold Jesus, we get transformed into his image. It's not focusing on ourselves. And all of a sudden we'll be more like Jesus. Actually, the opposite happens when you just turn your eyes on yourself. But if you turn your eyes on Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and begin to follow him, you will be transformed into more of his image as you follow him. But it's interesting, the judgment seat of Christ is talked about right here in Romans chapter 14 in this letter when it comes to talking about judging folks, each other, Christians judging Christians. And if you haven't yet read the book,
Final Quest,
you get a picture of what that's like. You know, Christians carrying around this demonic activity around them, mm-hmm. listening to what the demonic activity is saying about brothers and themselves and others, and they're thinking that's God talking to them, and they're basically just destroying themselves and destroying their brothers. They think about what accountabilities are going to be before the judgment seat of Christ if that's what we did, if we credited Satan's voice for God, you know. Mm-hmm. And you pretty much, if you're actually bowing up at a brother, you know, if you're bowing up and you're, you know, thinking you're the measuring rod for your, you know, whatever, and, you know, you're preaching your preference, you know, whatever that is, you know, that's it. Hmm. Ding, 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 ding. And so then he goes on, he's writing this letter a little bit more. He says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. So now he switches to the fact of looking on your brother in the context of, or sister, of do they measure up? Are they strong enough? Now he's like, hey, help them out. Love them. Mm-hmm. Love them on this journey. Help them make mm-hmm. it. Stop passing. Make up your mind not to be a stumbling block or an obstacle. I mean, how many people just don't realize, man, I kept on trying to find God, but I tripped over you every time I showed up, right? Every time I went to find God, I just tripped over your religiousness, you know, and all that stuff. He says, just try not to be a stumbling block or an obstacle to your brother in their way, in their journey, and where they're going. Then he says, you know, as one who's in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. I am convinced. That was his own personal conviction. Paul's going, listen, because he already talked about people that are talking about food. But he's saying, this is my personal conviction. Hey, I'm fully in Christ, and I'm telling you, I'm fully convinced that, you know, food is neither clean nor unclean. I'm confident in that. But then he says, but, by the way, and that's a conjunction. This whole thing is not about rules and regulations. It's about loving your brother? Are you willing to let go of some freedoms in your life and some boisterous things that you're doing that's offending those around you, your family, offending people? You know, are you willing just to do what you got to do to help your brother make it? He says, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is in distress because of what you eat, because of what you're doing, because of what you're saying, this is what he says. If your brother's in distress because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. You don't love your brother anymore. You're watching that man, you're watching that woman in torment. You will not deal with that thing in your life that you call a freedom, and it is offending everybody around you and dividing people, and you're an obstacle and you're a stumbling block. You're not acting in love anymore. And that's how you know when you're not loving, you know that's when you're messing. You need to be like, oh God, I'm sorry. Who am I, right?
Right.
As Francis Chan said in his book, Crazy Love, who do I think I am, right? So the measurement is, it's not weak or strong. It's like, am I loving this? I'm loving the strong and loving the weak, loving the whole body of Christ. Then he says, do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Don't flaunt your freedoms. Look what it's doing to your brother. He says, Christ died for that man. How could you be coming against that man the way you're coming against that man or that woman or that whoever? So we're finding out, oh my goodness, it has nothing to do with this stuff. It has to do with love. Did you learn to love like Bob Jones was confronted with at the throne room of God? Verse 16 says, do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. In other words, you keep bringing that up and everybody says that's evil. Well, I got freedoms around here. It's like, yeah, but you're doing a great injustice to the body of Christ. You're not helping anything by promoting that what people, mm-hmm. It's not about you. How is it affecting other people? What is God's eyes saying about what he's seeing and what you're doing? And this is another context. The first context was the throne of God, the throne of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And check out what else is in this particular conversation Paul's having that's so out of context. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In the final quest, he talks about trying to make it up this mountain and help so many believers get free from all this demonic captivity. Mm-hmm. And they're just totally defeated and different things are happening and they're trying to work their way through it. Long story short, and hopefully you can find this, that it'll be a related article to the segment. But these three angels appeared, these three huge angels appeared, and each of them had a different name. One of them was righteousness, peace. No, it was faith, hope, and love. And this is obviously, I'm from the NIV right here. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing. Faith, hope, and love. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, you can't offend the Holy Spirit and operate in the context of this. It's about loving God, loving others, and leading. Oh my goodness, where do I fit in that? You really don't. He says, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. In other words, God loves you, he approves of you, and men love you too. How many people go like, I know God loves me, but nobody else does. It's like, could it be because you're mean? You know what I'm saying?
Never.
I'm just a prophet. Could it be just that you're just mean?
Yeah.
L.A. Joyner was talking about that. He said, let us therefore make every effort. He's writing this letter to Roman Christians here. He says, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. I mean, I can't tell you the times that I'm like, what do I need to do to kind of get through this at this particular time? It doesn't mean people will respond, but hey, make every effort that you can because you're doing it before God. He said, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. Which means you can destroy God's work by what you're, if you don't get this mindset, you can destroy God's work. It's destroyable. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't destroy God, but a work, something that he's doing, you can destroy if you don't get this. How many fellowships have been blown apart because of this, the understanding, this freedom, the weakness, and the strength? He said, all food is clean. But if it's wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble, then it's wrong. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. In other words, it's better just, who cares? You'll live. If you're making decisions based on the love of others, it's, that's better. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Shut up. The only reason you would actually even talk about it is because you want to bow up and show how strong you are. Or maybe the enemy holds you captive to be able to bring destruction to the work of God. So whatever you believe, he says again, these things keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Listen, if you're feeling condemnation for what you're doing, stop it. Don't do that anymore. But the man who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that a man does that does not come from faith is sin. See, it's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we tell you continually, abide with the Lord. You will feel the unctions. For you, you can't. For him, he can. Some can, some can't. It's between your, it's not a cookie cutter walk. It's a personal, intimate relationship with the uniqueness of you and your situation and where you're at. There could be a whole bunch of strong people around you and God wants you to do this, or a whole bunch of weak people around you that you got to be very careful what's going on. The big thing is that your brother makes it. The big thing is you lay down your life for someone. The big thing is that, you know what? If it's going to destroy the work of God, why would I even think about doing that or broadcasting that? You know what? God, whatever you want in my life. And I want to encourage you, because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's writing this letter that we need to do this. We need to remember what the kingdom of God is made of. The kingdom of God is not just a matter of this and that, eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's time for us to unify around Christ and begin to remove all the gavels and quit judging God's folks who are weak. Lay out the undisputable matters. You got to have that. But everything else, just like the Moravian said, we need to give liberty. If we do that again, e pluribus unum, if we do that again in our nation, the church does that again, guess what? God just may give us America back. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.